Welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. We were really thrilled with how our rankings cropped up there in August. I don't know if you noticed,
Brian. It's about time.
Yeah, we started out the month at 693 on Podcast Alley out of we're in the general genre, so we kind of, I think there was a little over like 2,200 some odd podcasts in that area. So we were at 693. By the end of the month, we were at 382. So thanks to those of you who voted. Now realize it's already September. This is Labor Day weekend. Can you believe it?
Where'd the summer go?
I don't know. And then, of course, it's ending on this miserable weather note, so you don't even feel like you can celebrate.
A three-day weekend coming up, and it sucks.
Is it going to rain all weekend?
All weekend.
Because I'm supposed to go to a really happening barbecue Saturday night.
Well, it's going
to
be an indoor barbecue.
Really? I don't know how they're going to do it. They're projecting about 100 people to show up at this thing. They've got bands booked and everything.
Jesus.
It's being catered.
Hopefully they got tents.
They're having all these... I hope so. They're having it catered. When I saw the menu, because she's like, well, if you want to bring something, and I'm like, well, I was going to... I offered to make the chocolate chip cookies that I make. I call them mega chocolate chip cookies. And when I saw the menu, I'm like, well, you're not going to want me to bring that, you know? It's like so...
Bring your brownies.
The brownies. I'm like, it's so anticlimactic compared to like penne vodka, you know, penne with vodka sauce and broccoli rabe and garlic this. And,
yeah, but you know what? People bring all that stuff. But people want the regular burgers, hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. They're having the burgers, dogs. Then they're having all the catered goods. So I said, you know, to my friend, I'm like, well... She goes like, oh, come on, I had my heart set on the chocolate chip cookies. I'm like, you did? She goes, yeah. And I'm like, all right, I'll make them. So Friday, it's my last half day Friday, this Friday.
Ha-ha.
So I'll go home and I will bake like about 4 or 5 dozen mega chocolate chip cookies for Saturday's wet and soggy event. But yeah, so summer's over, bummer. Which also leads us to remember, we were supposed to have a cemetery hunt Saturday night, September 2nd.
Yep.
Which, if it's going to be raining, guys, don't plan on it. More than likely, it's going to hit the rain date of September 9th. This is a cemetery hunt that's set up for members only. It's going to be at Christ Church Cemetery. That's at South Pine Street in South Amboy. Our Central Jersey Division leaders, team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish, are leading this investigation. It's going to run from 9 to 10:30. They do ask that you show up at 8:45 to sign the waiver sheet. And Greg did get permission for this one, and it's in writing. So, if something happens where we do have to push it back to September 9th, just stay tuned to our website at njghs.net. And if you're part of our Yahoo group, you'll get a Yahoo Blast message as well. So, Oh, and then you're doing
the training.
Our very first Eastern State Penitentiary's Paranormal Certification Class.
Absolutely.
By Brian Sant.
Yay.
That's Saturday, September 2nd. People who have registered were emailing me saying, well, it's going to rain. Are we going to be able to do it? I'm like, yes, it's inside. I mean, granted, they have those big, there is that big open area outside.
There's a big open field. There's some other areas you have to actually walk outside to get to.
Right. But you know what? So you get a little wet. You're just not going to be investigating at that point. You get back under shelter and you keep investigating.
Yep, I'll be indoors going, yep, walk over there.
And you've got it all planned out. We're getting Vince Wilson's books. Each trainee is going to get Ghost Tech by Vince Wilson. That's really good.
I will autograph if asked.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't get Vince to autograph them because, well, they haven't even shown up yet. But each trainee will get that. Plus, you're going to take time for every segment, whether it's EMF and thermal scanning and digital video. And are you going to bring the black light and show them how to work with that for night shot? And so these people are going to get the real intense paranormal training there.
Now everyone's got to realize that we are not the know-all, see-all of paranormal investigating. There's other groups. They do things different ways. Mm-hmm. We do things. We don't know everything. We might do something, and you know what? Next year I'm going to say, hey, what I did was wrong. This is how we should do it.
We're open to that.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's part of the learning curve, but... These are people who signed up for this who are going to take advantage of like all the time that we've spent with trial and error. And in one night, pretty much get caught up and like know what the latest and greatest is. And like Brian said, it could change. You know, in a month, it could be completely different. We may discover something else. I went to the coalition meeting on Saturday.
How was that?
Last Saturday. And it was good. I got there late. I got there about an hour into it, but they brought me up to speed. I'm going to be in charge of designing the logo and doing the PR work for the group.
Okay.
Yeah, but more work. But it's okay. It's for a good cause. I think they're really going about it the right way of getting these all the teams and all the groups to collaborate and pull together all the evidence, and which I mentioned to them because on a national level, a Ghost World Conference is going to have its symposium and put together a national data bank of all right. the research. So I think it's kind of neat because the coalition takes all the little groups within the state and pulls it under one roof, and then this national data bank is going to take all the state coalitions and put it under one roof. So we're really going to get somewhere.
International.
Yeah, we're really going to get somewhere with the research. So hats off to Bonnie Bates, if she's listening, because she's the one that really spearheaded the whole thing for a coalition of the investigators.
Bates?
Yes, Bates. I think we're going to be called, what did we come up with? Oh, NJPIC, basically, New Jersey Paranormal Investigators Coalition.
Okay.
So there's the NJPAC in Newark and the NJPIC in the paranormal. So, yeah, so that was exciting. David Roundtree was there. He's one of our members, and he runs his own group called, I think, Skylands Paranormal or something like that. Anyway, he's doing amazing work on EVP theories and research. And because he has a degree and his whole background is in audio and sound and everything, and sound engineering, he's taken really to that scientific level.
Nice, nice.
And he gave out each of these nice bound pamphlets with all his work that he's done so far. He brought a lot of stuff to show, like different prototypes that he himself has designed in order to measure whether the sound is electromagnetic or electrical. I mean, he'll probably shoot me because I'm probably screwing it up because I don't have the material in front of me, but it was really fascinating. I brought up how, like Vince Wilson had been testing, with the bell jar thing, with the vacuum, removing all the air and still seeing if you could get... So this is all the neat stuff that's going on, So that was exciting. And we have our upcoming meetings, too. And in fact, I just faxed out a press release today. I was like, I can't believe I got to fax out September meetings. Summer just flew. So we have September 6th is the Central Jersey Division meeting. That's at the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road. All meetings are from 7 to 8:30 p.m. and are free to anyone to attend. If you've never been to one, you're not a member, don't worry, you can still go and enjoy the meeting. And in fact, Sherry and Gregory have signed up Officer Voodoo.
Ooh.
He is going to present on incense and various things of sage for cleansing and clearing after an investigation. And good things to know, because I will warn you, some people sometimes make a mistake and they get like the sweet, I think it's sweet grass.
Right.
And I think that's the one that kind of doesn't discriminate, can call in good and bad. Okay, so depending on the space you are personally in, you could, if you had a rotten day at work and you're burning sweet grass, more often than not, you're going to get some negative entities drawn to you. I think that's how it goes. Don't quote me, but Officer Voodoo, Paul Long, will clear all that up. He's a police officer in the Belleville Police Department.
Very nice.
He's been doing this for like 25 years, studying all this, and that's how he got the nickname Officer Voodoo. So, personally, I've always stuck with white sage, because I remember one of the shamans telling me, you can't go wrong with white sage. It's always a higher, elevated vibration, and it cleanses and raises vibrations. So that's what I've stuck with. But anyway, check out that Central Jersey Division meeting at the Hazlitt Library on September 6th, because Officer Voodoo will be there presenting. After that, we have September 19th. That's the Hackettstown. That's the meeting I lead. That's the Northwest Division. I can tell you, I just mailed out the form today to renew our blue room rental for our Northwest Division meetings, because I forgot. It's like, I remember him telling me last year, September, it's like in August I was supposed to send this in to book from September to September for next year. So today it hit me, and I just sent it out, and I requested Wednesday nights going forward. Now, that's a personal thing, because Gilmore Girls is on Tuesday nights. And even though I have DVR now and I could record it, I would still rather be home to watch my Gilmore Girls when they're actually taking place. So I have requested Wednesday nights, but for now, just plan on Tuesday, September 19th in the Community Center. It's in the Blue Room, located at 293 Main Street in Hackettstown. But if it does change to September 20th, I will send out a Yahoo note and put it on the website as well. And then finally, the last Thursday of the month, September 28th, is the Northeast Division, headed up by Laura Lindemann. And that's in Bogota, in the Bogota Recreation Center, located at 162 West Main Street. So, we talked about how you're doing the whole paranormal investigating thing this weekend. That is exciting. I just hope it doesn't really downpour, because that could make it a little difficult even inside to collect EVPs, because that place is echoey.
It's echoey, and they have a lot of holes.
Yeah. I remember we were there with Fox 29, and we were like trying to avoid getting our equipment dripped on, you know. It wasn't even raining that night. It had rained, and we were still like had all the moisture dripping through.
Oh, my God. It was humid as heck in there.
I remember that. I have yet to be on camera with a good hair day.
That's because we don't have our own makeup people.
These other people show up, you know, from News 12 New Jersey, and even though she's in a rain slicker, she's still got poly perfect makeup, and I still got to show you the clip, but I'm going to be showing it at the Hackettstown meeting, the News 12 New Jersey clip.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to drive all the way up there to watch that. Okay.
Well, and if I can figure out how to make it part of the PowerPoint presentation for all the presentations I'll be doing in October, then maybe you can catch one of those.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? I'm doing the presentation for the Belvedere Women's Club up in Belvedere. Now, that's 20 minutes northwest of where I am already, right? But they were so kind. They sent me a flyer. They're having, I think, the weekend of September 9th is their Victorian Days. And right on, they have a beautiful park, which is like a square center park right in the center of town. And you've got like the Warren County Courthouse, and you've got a church and all the little buildings. And they're going to have all kinds of crafts people. And they said a lot of people get dressed up in Victorian garb and parade around. And they have a lot of Victorian mansions or houses, that are opened up for house tours and things. So I figured I'd give them a little plug, because that's, you know me, I'm so big on the Victorian stuff. So it looks really fun. And I have my kids that weekend, but maybe we'll take a ride up there and walk around and just look around, because, you know, it's too late to order the tickets for the house tours. You had to order them by tomorrow, August 30th.
Right.
but at least you could go up to Belvedere if you want, if it's a nice day, September 9th or 10th, and take a ride up there and walk around and see the different things. Yeah, I thought that was neat. So hats off to them. Anything else?
No, I think we should probably go to commercial.
I know, they're going to love that. All right, here's a commercial.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger of GhostVillage.com, and when I'm not out hunting ghosts and seeking out folklore, I'm listening to The Deadline.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net, or send your check or money order payable to the Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
Hey, welcome back to The Deadline. I'm Laura. I'm here with Brian.
Hello.
Hello. You know what? I had this really neat article sent to me.
Really?
And even though it's not ghosts, you know, not everything has to be ghosts. There can be some there's weird stuff that goes on in the world, you know, and some unexplainable things. Now, this was pretty cool, because for years in Turner, Maine, residents are wondering, you know, they found this dead animal that was hit by a car, and they're wondering if it may be the mysterious creature that has mauled dogs, frightened residents, and been the subject of local legend for half a generation. The animal was found near power lines along Route 4 and apparently was struck by a car while chasing a cat. Now, there is a photograph of the carcass, which I will put up on the website.
Okay.
It's not gory. It just shows like an animal kind of dead. You'll see it in color. It's really cool because the animal has like kind of a clear blue eyes, you know. And anyway, it says Michelle O'Donnell of Turner, Maine, spotted the animal near her yard about a week before it was killed. She called it a hybrid mutant of something. It was evil, evil looking, and it had a horrible stench I will never forget, she told the Sun Journal of Lewiston. We locked eyes for a few seconds, and then it took off. I've lived in Maine my whole life, and I've never seen anything like it. For the past 15 years, residents across Androscoggin County have reported seeing and hearing a mysterious animal with a chilling, monstrous cries and eyes that glow in the night. The animal has been blamed for attacking and killing a Doberman Pinscher and a Rottweiler the past couple years. Now, this thing must have been pretty ferocious to take out a Rottie, because those dogs...
Yeah.
The pounds per square inch pressure in a Rottweiler's jaw is like 500 pounds or something. I mean, they can lift up railroad ties.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't, but my one friend had seen a Rottweiler literally pick up a railroad tie in its mouth. Its jaw is that strong. I mean, and this mutant thing took out a Rottweiler, so that's pretty impressive. people from Litchfield, Sabatus, Green, Turner, Lewiston, and Auburn have come forward to speak of a mystery monster that roams the woods. Nobody knows for sure what it is, and theories have ranged from a hyena or dingo to a fisher or coy dog, an offspring of a coyote and a wild dog. Now people are asking if the mystery beast and the animal killed over the weekend are one and the same. Anyway, sad to say that this person at least got a picture of the carcass, which will be on the website and on the deadline page, but the wildlife officials and animal control officers declined to go to Turner to examine the remains, and by the time they got there, the remains had been picked clean by vultures.
Oh, lovely. Beautiful.
Yeah. So, Lauren Coleman, a Portland author and cryptozoologist, said it's unlikely that the animal was anybody's pet. Yeah, you think? Whew, good thing he has all that high-level education, because, wow, I never would have suspected.
You know? Come here, Fluffy.
Oh. So, moving on to some other para-weird things. And these are just, like, weird people, weird events, stuff that, you know, doesn't really make CNN. But it's news nonetheless. And here we go. Thanks to newsoftheweird.com that brings us these wonderful little tidbits. Let's see. Martin Creed, a one-time winner of Britain's prestigious Turner Prize, told The Guardian in July that his latest work, titled Sick Film, would open in London in October, and that it includes 19 scenes of people vomiting on camera. Creed spoke to The Guardian from Los Angeles, where he is working on the next similar product... project entitled Shit Film. Yes, that's the title. I'm not cursing in vain or anything. That's the title. And has already been able to line up 15 performers.
Oh, what, Tom Cruise? Who?
You never know. Perhaps, he said, because L.A. represents the extreme edge of the world.
Okay.
So, a film on vomiting, basically puking, and he's going to follow that up with taking a crap.
Sounds like going to White Castle.
Yeah, right? Those rat burgers, man. Whew. Now, this is a sad little tale of woe.
Just to let everyone know, I'm not the one who chooses these stories. Laura is the one in complete control of this.
Oh, come on now.
I have no creative input.
Our program director comes up with these.
Which is you.
Poly program director. Now, here we go. From an Atlanta police report. Now, you know Atlanta, Georgia. So we're talking back here in the States here. Summarized in a July issue of the Weekly Creative Loafing. There's a Weekly Creative Loafing magazine.
I need to subscribe to that sucker.
You know? Yeah. Moving on. A man working on a house on Smith Street was taken to Grady Memorial Hospital with serious injuries to his posterior. He happened to be bending over next to a wall that, unknown to him, a worker on the other side was drilling into, and the drill bit entered his anal cavity. So, next, moving on to least competent cops. 4 New York City police were called to an apartment house in July in the Bronx concerning a landlord-tenant dispute, but were distracted by a teenager in the hallway smoking marijuana and started to chase him when a pit bull attacked the officers. The toll? 26 bullets later, one dead dog, one bitten officer, three other officers wounded by each other's gunshots.
But the
landlord and the tenant are still arguing away. You know, it reminded me of a story. I remember years ago a friend of mine telling me about a cop in a town that we lived in. I don't want to give away too much information. But this particular officer, who really thought, you know, he was so thrilled. You know, he was a typical young cop, novice, new on the beat, typically stuck with traffic duty. Well, one night, he's allowed to go. He's called in on a case. Okay?
Ooh.
Now, this, I think it was a sporting goods store in the town that had been broken into and robbed. And...
Oh, she's starting to laugh.
No, you know, it's just, it's so funny. And maybe people won't find this as funny as I do, but it's just indicative of some people's intelligence or lack thereof. And anyway, this young officer showed up, and he was convinced he had solid proof as to who the perpetrator was.
Okay.
And, you know, it was almost like that game, what was that game, Clue? You know, like yes. You did it in the one room with the wrench or
Professor
whatever.
Professor Plum did it in the library with the candlestick.
Yes. Well, this guy is sharp, man. He says, I know. They broke in using a baseball bat, and they were dumb enough to even leave their name on the bat. And the detective was like, you're kidding. Give me that bat. Where? And the cop points, he says, see, Johnny Bench. And, no. Wrong. But you stick to writing parking tickets and let the detective stick to doing the casework. I thought that was cute, so.
Well, that's one person.
Yeah, well. And I have another, I have a parishare. Do you want to move on to parishare?
No. Parishares?
Yes.
We have a parishare?
We have
no,
a parishare.
I don't believe it.
And for those of you who don't know, Johnny Bench was a baseball player, right? And that's why he had Johnny Bench. It was a sporting goods store, so it really wasn't much in the way of evidence. But well, get this. We have a parishare all the way from Australia.
Australia, mate?
Australia, mate.
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
God. And I'm sure this girl's going to listen to the show and go, oh, man, you know, am I ever going to live down that shrimp on the barbie stupid commercial thing?
Never.
Never. Anyway, well, actually, she's too young. She's
Foster's, Australian for beer.
Now, that was good beer. I mean, I never really liked beer, but I remember having what they used to call the oil cans of Foster's. Way back in the day, you know. When they first came out, that was all the rage. It was just like everybody wanted an oil can, and, you know, so. And that's how we got turned on to Australia. But anyway, this is from Hannah. She's 15 years old, and she's writing to us from Australia. And she says, I've had many encounters with the paranormal and thought I'd share some of them with you. Thank you so much. For once, someone has taken initiative, made my life somewhat easier, so thank you, Hannah. I mostly wrote because I have a ghost animal story. Now, please, I had to, like, start reading it, because I'm like, if it has to do with a cat...
They're being thrown over a hill.
Oh, I'm going to lose it again, so thankfully, it's not. Okay. When I was younger, I found an injured possum in the bush behind my backyard. Although, now, you know, I'm questioning here, because I don't know if she means, was it a bush? Or, like, in Australia, the bush.
I think
okay.
Just a regular bush.
Just a regular bush. All right, just trying to be sure here. Although it was too late to save her, we managed to rescue the little baby inside her pouch who hadn't even began to grow hair. Amazingly, it survived, and we hand-raised it. I called it Joe, and he used to run around the house and annoyed the cat a lot. See, there's that cat thing again. Before he was an adult, he went back to the bush, and we didn't see him again until our mongrel dog attacked him, and he died in my dad's arms. I was so upset. But about a year later, at some ungodly hour of the morning, I awoke to feel some small animal at the end of my bed on my feet. I had had paranormal experiences before where I would wake to invisible hands squeezing my feet, and at first, that's what I thought it was. But then the animal ran up my legs, and just as I was awake enough to see, I saw a small possum's body on my chest. I went to jump up thinking there was a wild possum in my room when it ran to my left-hand side and disappeared. I checked the room, which was closed off to the rest of the house, only to find nothing. Then I knew it must have been Joe. That was probably the best ghostly experience I've ever had. However, there are others. My first was when I was about 10. I was finished watching a TV show in my room, and when I turned the TV off, I noticed the solid black reflection of a man leaning on my closet door near... leaning on my closet door near the... in the screen. So I guess she could see that in the TV screen, like, behind
right,
her.
Right.
When I turned around, it was nowhere to be seen. As it was my first experience, I bolted down the hallway and avoided the room for weeks. I thought afterwards that I must have been dreaming. But 2 years later, I saw the same thing, only this time I saw him right in front of me. It was weird, because this time it was at my friend's house. I was walking from one room to another when I noticed the solid, shadowy figure standing behind my friend. By the way, it definitely wasn't her shadow, because it was standing in the middle of the hallway and I couldn't see through it. At first glance, I thought it was her dad, but a second later, everything clicked, and when I ran back to investigate, I saw the last of him turning into a nearby room with the lights off. We later found out that the only other person in the house was my mate's mother, who is short and looks nothing like the tall, solid shadow, who, by the way, we called Meryl, after Meryl Osmond of the Osmonds. Do you know I had to actually look that up and to realize, was it really, like, Donny Osmond's brother? Yes, and it is. Meryl Osmond is the Donny Osmond's brother. Other than that, I've had many other experiences, but Meryl and Joe are the best. Yours in haunting, Hannah. And I love her PS because she says, I love the website and the Deadline rocks. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
A kudo. We finally got a kudo.
An international kudo.
Yeah, and not just a parashare, but an international kudo. I am so thrilled. So, you know, thanks to Hannah and other people who have submitted your parashares. If you've got, like, stories like that, experiences that you've had, you know, this is your forum for where things have happened in your life that you either kind of shrugged and wrote it off, or you thought, I can't tell anybody this, they'll think I'm nuts. Now you can. Send it in to thedeadline@njghs.net, or there's even a form on the NJGHS, the Deadline page of our website, njghs.net. Go to the Deadline page and click on the Parashare form and fill that out.
And, what do you got to lose?
Yeah, and if your story really rocks, you get to come in on the show and tell it yourself. And
especially if you can make Laura crack up again.
Yeah, that would be great. And you buy them the coffee, right?
I buy them the Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
The Dunkin' Donuts coffee. So, really, you know, now's your chance. Take advantage of that. Send in your stories. Don't be shy. Again, it's the deadline at njghs.net. So, would you like to move along to haunted trivia?
Well, I guess we can do that.
Okay. Now, last week, you were asked, what is the name of the woman ghost who to this day can be seen around Fort Ticonderoga or floating face up in the very lake she drowned in? The answer is Nancy Coates. She was a local woman who was serving the party that Mad Anthony, you know, General Wayne and Anthony Wayne was at, along with the wealthy daughter of a landowner from Vermont who was Penelope. And Nancy really thought that Penelope became Mad Anthony's bride, but it was just a mix-up because all people told her that to upset her, and it was so cruel, and she was so upset she took her own life. And all it was that Mad Anthony went up to take Penelope and several other people into this fort to protect them during this thing. But poor Nancy, she misunderstood or was led to believe that he had married this Penelope, and she was distraught and took her own life. We did have a winner.
A winner?
Yes. Jamie Black. She wrote in and she said, is it Nancy Coates? And I was like,
yay, an actual winner.
Now, I've written back to her saying, you've already won once before, but she's past the 30-day time limit, so she would qualify to get another bumper sticker and CD. And which, by the way, those are the prizes. You get a CD of all our earlier shows, which we figured out tonight. You know, the shows started in September 2005,
yep.
And the CD covers from then all the way up to, like, April 2006, and a bumper sticker. So that means this is our anniversary month, Brian.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I'm old.
We've been at this for 1 year, doing the deadline. Yay! Oh. Happy birthday to, or what is it? Happy anniversary to us.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, we're nuts.
We watched a lot of cartoons growing up.
That's the Flintstones.
I know. Remember that? Mr. Anyway, yeah, so we've been doing this for a year. I remember we were talking about when we started out. Oh, God, we only had the one.
It was your headset.
My headset with the microphone that's attached to it and Brian's laptop, and we had to record the show with commercials and all the way straight through. Could not come up for air, couldn't take a break. It just had to be straight through, and it was one solid recording. And we used to do them every 3 or 4 weeks was our upload schedule. Then we finally made it to every 2 weeks that we'd put a new show up, and now we've been holding true since April. We've been every week.
And we better not go any more quicker than that.
No, I think a week is good because it's in podcast land, and you know, and now that the shows are staying up on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle and Podfeed.net, all of them are picking them up, and iTunes is finally that really helped a lot. So people can go back in time, you know, in the past several weeks and listen to shows they missed. So it's good.
Absolutely.
Know. Anyway, so with Haunted Trivia this week, has a skill level of semi-challenging.
Semi.
It's Bontida or Bontida Castle. It's located in Transylvania. The most frequently reported apparition is that of a young boy who is seen wandering inside and outside several of the buildings. He was a stable boy who noticed one of the daughters of the household often snuck out late at night to be with her neighboring nobleman boyfriend. The stable boy threatened to rat her out to her father, so she seduced him. And while making love to him, stabbed him to death. She buried his body near the stable, but it's never been found. What is the name of the family who built this castle, Bontida Castle in Transylvania? What is the name of the family who built the castle?
I gotta say, if that's how you're gonna go out of life, that's the perfect way to go out.
Getting poked and stabbed.
Oh, here she goes.
No, I'm being good. So anyway, if you're the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you know what? For those of you who know my other address and everything, it doesn't count. You have to send the answer to Haunted Trivia to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and if you're the first person to do so, you win the CD crafted by our own Brian Sant and our official bumper sticker.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Hi, I'm Charles J. Adams III, the author of Cape May Ghost Stories and many other local ghost books, and you're listening to the Deadline podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator. Hey, welcome back to the Deadline. We do have some condolences to pass along. Last week, Ed Warren, the self-proclaimed demonologist, he was the original demonologist, he passed away. So our sympathies go out to his surviving wife, Lorraine Warren, and
I actually got to talk to both of them briefly years ago on the phone. Ed answered the phone, and I spoke to him for a few minutes, and then he said, well, my wife does, you know, with scheduling and all that kind of stuff she handles. Let me get Lorraine on the phone, you know. So he was a really nice guy, and Lorraine, you know, was a sweetheart, and she was working with me. They were going to come down to Westfield and do a presentation, but the dates and the timing, we just couldn't get it to jive. But so, you know, I feel kind of blessed, honored, whatever, that I, you know, he's gone now, but at least at some point in my life I got to talk to him and to Lorraine, his wife. So they're in our prayers. We wish them, the, you know, our best, our deepest sympathies to Lorraine and the whole, and that's John Zaffis' uncle.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I sent him an email through MySpace saying my condolences. So we, you know, that's pretty sad. So we've lost George Lutz this year from the Amityville Horror, and now Ed Warren.
They're all dropping.
Who's next?
Laura, stop raising your hand.
Anyway, so it's time to start wrapping it up. We want to encourage you to stay tuned to the www.njghs.net website. And on the homepage, you can sign up for membership. It's only $20 for lifetime membership. And you can do that with PayPal or send a check to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. And you can sign up for our Yahoo groups to get the latest and greatest info. What's the matter?
Oh, it's a new month.
And that's right. It's Labor Day weekend when you're listening to this, so take time out from the rain and barbecuing and partying to log on to Podcast Alley and vote. I cannot stress that enough.
Vote.
Yeah. And for those of you who have, awesome. And keep it up, because it's a new month, and every month you can vote again. In fact, I was on Podcast Alley, and they even have a feature where you just register with them, so you don't have to do that thing where you cast your vote and get the email back.
Right.
Once you're a registered Podcast Alley person, you go on, you just click vote, and it acknowledges you right away. So do that. Please do that. Because I am really psyched. Oh, and you know what?
What?
A friend of mine took our show and loaded it into this thing called Podzinger. And what Podzinger apparently does is records or listens to our whole podcast, and words like ghost, poltergeist, haunting, ghost hunting, paranormal, all those buzzwords that we throw out there, it will pick that up, and every time it's going to log it in text form. So every time somebody is searching with those words, we, our show is now going to be very searchable by those keywords.
Very nice. Very
yes.
nice.
And I think that really has helped with the ratings and all, and the votes and everything. So please go to Podcast Alley, and the link is right on our homepage at njghs.net. It's also on the deadline page. And I find for me to listen to the show, I like going and listening through the podcast player at Podcast Alley, because it's like instant, it comes up. If you hit the MP3 link that we have on our page, you got to wait for it to download.
Right.
It takes a while. But
well, technically, it's doing the same thing on that one.
But they do it a hell of a lot faster.
It's downloading a temporary file to your system.
Mm-hmm. But it's a lot faster. For me, it seems. I don't know. But you're the techie. You would know. Anyway, so yes, Brian's right. It's September. Please vote for us. And thanks to Brian, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king, babe.
And our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. And thanks again to Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com for our wonderful theme song. And, of course, thanks to all of you for listening and writing in your parishioners and voting. We really appreciate it. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.